That's actually why we brought you on today, is to raise this Brett Kissel issue. Hello and welcome to The Bits. This is Paulina.
This is Claire.
And we don't have Quinn today.
Yeah, she's gone to Vegas.
Yeah. She decided she's a Vegas fan, actually.
Yeah.
After the last game. Traitor. Judas. Actually, she's just in Vegas for a wedding, but she's going to probably rep Oilers wear and merch at the wedding. She's I would not be surprised. Paint her face.
She's she's not just at the wedding. She's in the wedding.
Yes.
Which is
orange and blue face paint.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's
she probably will.
She would. She absolutely would.
Yeah.
But we do have a third co-host slash guest today.
A stand-in.
Yeah. We have Panita McBrien from the Downtown Edmonton Business Association.
Yeah, CEO, if you will.
Oh, sorry. Edmonton Downtown Business Association. I should probably know this by now.
AKA the Queen of Downtown.
Yeah. Edmonton's mom.
Edmonton's mom. I like that. Welcome, Panita.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So we are going to talk all things playoffs, Oilers playoff run, and, you know, get into what that means for downtown, downtown businesses. First, we have a couple grievances that we need to air.
Yeah, so we will get into downtown and the effect of the playoff run on downtown with Panita. But yeah, we want to talk about some other stuff first. And Panita, you know, chime in.
Feel free.
But we're just, we've got some stuff, you know, like we want to talk a little bit about some of our Canadian counterpart fan bases. And it might not be popular with everyone, but we don't care.
We hate them.
Well, you know, we're getting a bit of a reputation for not being very inclusive on the fan front.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
We are Edmonton through and through.
We are. Big time.
But yeah, so Toronto fans.
We saw a few things this past week that
We're not impressed.
We're grinding our gears a little bit.
We're not impressed. Yeah. So Joe Bowen, the announcer for the Toronto Maple Leafs, said that he came out and said he called out the Leafs fans. And we have all known that Leafs fans suck for a really long time. So it's really nice to hear their announcer call them out for it. But he said that to support the home team is to be proactive. And so he was kind of calling them out for being, you know, sitting on their hands when the team needed the most. And he said, you have to give the team energy when they need it, not just sitting and waiting to be reactive. And he even went so far as to say that, okay, so the players can't say it, but I'm going to. Ouch.
Yeah.
Hockey dad is mad.
Yes.
He's mad at you.
So what, yeah, what does that mean, like, compared to the Oilers, though, like proactive versus reactive?
Well, like, let's look at Wednesday's game.
Yeah.
So we are fresh off a tougher game for the Oilers versus the Kings where we did not come out successful. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of a yo-yo, not our best showing.
Yeah, they're playing at home, so that was extra disappointing.
For sure. But there was tons of energy. I mean, you and Panita were there.
We were there. There was tons of energy. And, like, even when they're down, like, we are, it's like you still hear, let's go Oilers, like, chanted throughout the arena. Like, we're still cheering them on.
Yeah, and I just really like the sentiment of his message there, because that is when your team needs you. Yeah, it can't just be pure entertainment. I mean, it is, and that's what we're paying for. But they do need the fans to cheer them on, and it can't just be when there's a goal. Sometimes when things get tough, you need to hear the cheers and get them going. And Leafs fans don't have it in them, apparently.
Well, maybe that's why the Leafs choke in the playoffs. Ooh. Every time, because the fan energy just isn't there. So maybe it's like the Toronto fans need to stop shitting on the Leafs team when the Leafs do bad. It's kind of their fault, maybe.
It is their fault.
Yeah, okay.
But I will say, I'm not a fan of the Oilers jersey on the ice, and we've seen that a lot. So, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like we don't have our bad apples.
Yeah, that's fair.
When was the last time that happened?
It's been a bit.
We've been really good for a long time, so it hasn't happened. But there were dark days.
Oh, yeah.
There were dark days, and it didn't bring out the best in some of the fans.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But nothing like...
We're not talking about that today.
No, we're not. That's... We're a perfect fan base. Everything is good. I want to talk about Vancouver, though.
Yeah, you lived there.
I lived in Vancouver. Okay, and I saw the most ridiculous post. Okay, I saw this post where it was a Vancouver Canucks jersey on like one of the lion statues in Vancouver, and the caption was, "This is a hockey town."
Okay.
pardon me. You are not.
That chaps my ass. It really does. Because I just had a BC family member come stay with us for that final Vancouver-Edmonton game that happened right at the end of the season. And he was talking about how few people in his social circle talk about hockey or follow hockey.
Yeah.
In BC.
Yes.
And it's BC's team, right? So he's actually from Kelowna, to be fair.
Right.
But it's true. I mean, in Vancouver, you cannot tell me that hockey is conversation around the dinner table.
No, they don't. They're not like, they don't live, breathe hockey, especially like during the playoffs, right? Which is what we do as Oilers fans. Like the entire city is, it's a hockey city. Like that you can confidently say about Edmonton.
Yeah.
But when you say that about Vancouver, like I have to laugh because I lived in Vancouver. People don't really give a shit. Like, I mean, there are a few people that I know that are, you know, big Canucks fans. This isn't about them, but like just the city as a whole, like you're not real. It does not have that same energy whatsoever. I used to work for a company, that I would get, we were partnered with the Canucks and we would get free tickets. Okay. To distribute to, like our clients, audience, whatever.
Sweet.
They would give us lots of tickets, and let me tell you, it was actually challenging to get those out the door and in people's hands. Yeah. Free tickets. And it was still a challenge to get those tickets out the door into the fans' hands because it was like people just didn't really care to go. And even like I got to go often and I always appreciated, you know, I love to go to a live hockey game. And it was like half empty all the time, half empty. So then to say this is a hockey town, but you're only showing up when they're doing well. And then you act like when they do lose. And I'm sorry to bring up 2000, whatever it was, 2012. I don't know. I can't remember when they burned the city to the ground, like when they lost. And I was like, OK, so you're that passionate. You don't see the games at all during the regular season.
Right.
And then they lose and you light the city on fire? I don't think so.
Yeah, like I'm all for a bandwagon fan.
Sure.
But a bandwagon fan base seems problematic.
Yeah.
Right? Like they, yes. After game one, that win, they were, that city looked like they had just won the cup. And yes. They became unhinged. And it was like, okay, calm down.
Yes.
Like, we are more mature in Edmonton now. Oh, I specifically said mature.
Yeah.
It sounds like fancy.
It is fancy.
Yeah. But like we, you know, we're more measured now that we have more recent, we're out of the decade of darkness. We have a few runs under our belt now. We have a little more chill, I would say. We're like the mature older sibling and we're looking at our younger sibling in Vancouver being like, grow up.
Yeah.
There's a dynamic there too in Vancouver, even more so than here, where so many of the fans that are, I think, even year-round fans who aren't actually in Vancouver. They're in Surrey.
Yes.
They're in Richmond.
For sure.
It's a lot of actually immigrant communities that like love the Canucks.
Yes.
Often probably can't afford to go all the time. And so it's really sad to see because I do have some big Canucks fans in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being a kid, and so our family's like in Surrey and Abbotsford. That's like a huge fan base for the Canucks, but they're not in Vancouver.
Exactly.
They're not going downtown for games. And then I feel like the whole Canucks fan base gets a bad rap because
that's
the,
fair.
The losers that.
Yeah. So this isn't about Surrey, Burnaby, like outskirts.
No, but I think it's a good point. There are true fans. We're not
there
saying
are.
That.
Yes. And again, this isn't about them.
And I would say the same for the Leafs. The Leafs, the people sitting at Leafs games are like big corporate. They're spending thousands and thousands of dollars to be there, which Edmonton is on their way, but that's in another episode. And it's just, it's, you know, it, they're maybe just there to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but maybe, you know, maybe they could take a little tip from Edmonton and get into the game.
They
it's a lot more fun.
They probably hate us too. So I don't think they're gonna.
They definitely hate us.
I don't think they're taking any tips from Edmonton. Okay, so with a passionate fan base, we have some of our other concerns.
Yeah. So there's something that has been kind of bugging me that I wanted to bring.
Well,
up
it
today.
Seems like it's actually bugging a few people.
It turns out.
Yeah.
As it
you
turns out.
Weren't
so
alone.
When I was watching the game the other day, from my house because I wasn't invited by my friends, but I saw Brett Kissel come out onto the ice, and I thought to myself, "Oh no!" And it turns out there is something to that. It was kind of a fleeting thought, but then we lost.
Yeah.
And my coworker.
So you said, "Oh no," though.
I did. Yes, I was like, "Oh no," Brett is singing, and I don't know why. I didn't have any thinking about that beforehand, but it was just this feeling like, "Uh-oh, this is not good." And then I was like, "Why did I think that?"
Yeah.
And it turns out I'm not the only one. And my coworker friend Ryan shared a petition that's going around town to ban Brett Kissel from singing the anthem because we have not won a game, according to this petition, we have not won a game when Brett Kissel comes out and sings the anthem.
That is wild. That is wild. I did not know about this. I never really paid close enough attention to Brett Kissel, but you had like an internal red flag as soon as you saw him.
Trust your
gut. And then literally like the next day we see this petition going around, and it's basically like, we care about the Oilers, like we're a diehard fan base. We can't sit idly by as Brett Kissel sings the anthem and we continue to lose following him singing the anthem.
Brett, this is not
personal. Did you have any idea about this? Did you, Panita?
I knew nothing about this. This is blowing my mind right
now. Okay, well,
we
need you to take action.
I was going to say, I mean, I feel like I got to send this petition to my friends at the Oilers and A, find out if the data is accurate.
Yes, like, that would be good to fact check.
Have we, in fact, lost every game?
Could be purely anecdotal.
We have. I did scratch the surface of research.
Okay.
And we have lost more than we have won for sure. But I didn't go too deep. It's a little tricky on the internet to find how many appearances he's had.
Yeah, that's very specific data.
Yeah,
it's not
so, but I'm sure the Oilers
like the
group would know.
Apps. Yeah, okay.
But it is both hilarious and of great importance.
Yes,
that you get involved, Panita.
That's actually why we brought you on today, is to raise this Brett Kissel issue. And listen, it is not personal against Brett. We just don't want him around anymore.
Yeah, you sound great. We know you're friends with
Jordan
Eberle.
You're a talented guy. Yeah.
You've been around for a long time.
Can I just ask, is it okay if Brett still performs like outside during like watch parties?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We aren't anti-Brett Kissel. We are anti-Brett Kissel singing the anthem at the Oilers game.
That is specific superstition.
Got it. Yeah. Inside the arena, singing the anthem.
Not good.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I don't know. Is it superstitious if it's factually correct?
Right. Right.
Statistically. Are showing, you know, the stats guy for the Oilers lives across the street from me. Maybe I will ask him to do some digging.
Please go knock on his door midday.
Yeah, I don't think he knows my name yet, but he's going.
That's a really good way to introduce yourself. Just like this crazy lady.
So have you heard about this Brett Kissel issue?
Tell me about this. Like, throw the petition.
Nice
in
to meet
face.
You.
I mean, there could be some other options. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, we like Rob Clark. Rob Clark could do both.
Oh my
he?
Gosh, he can totally do both. I mean, the last few times he's just throwing up the mic and letting us do it. So, you know,
that's true. Maybe the fans sing the national anthem.
They already are.
The singer,
probably
did,
not the American one.
The anthems at the South Asian celebration game. Jasmine Mann.
Yes.
Name?
Amazing.
She was so good.
Oh, yeah.
She's local.
She was amazing.
Maybe
so we have a lot of good options out there. Something for you and the OEG to consider moving
forward.
Yes.
And something for Brett to consider if he's listening to this, which he isn't. But
he definitely is.
If you are like Brett, like
do
take
it for
one
the
to the team. Like it's not personal. Like just do it for the team.
If you love us, you will let us go.
Full disclosure, I have absolutely no power over this. So I will.
Okay, well, that's.
I will make a suggestion.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's all we ask.
Okay, so speaking of outdoor entertainment, which is where we hope he moves,
Panita, you and I were at the game on Wednesday.
We sure were.
Yes. And very fun, very exciting.
I heard you guys were very responsible, and you went to work early the next morning. And
so Quinn and I, on a recent episode, we were giving tips on how to handle a playoff run.
Yeah, how did that go for you?
We expect this one to be a long time or a longer run, and knock on wood. But we were talking about how it's a marathon, not a race, and you don't get too excited round one. Anyway, game two, I got too excited. I don't know if you did too.
Both a little hyper before the game even started, I think, right?
Yeah. I did not behave like someone running a marathon.
She was in a 50 meter dash.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, it's round one. We got to make the most of it. You never know what could happen.
There was a lot of charged energy. It was exciting. Okay. Yes. Sorry. I interrupted. No, so you go ahead.
So they did lose on Wednesday, which sucks. And they were playing at home. So that was disappointing. How do you feel game two, round one, a loss at home? How do you feel about that for their playoff run? Are you feeling concerned?
I'm trying not to feel concerned. I would be lying if I said my heart didn't sink at the end of that game. And it is, for me, it's obviously more than just as an Oilers fan.
That's what we were going to say, too, because you are, of course, an Oilers fan, but there are other things at stake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. And it, there's so much wrapped up in a playoffs run now. This is now our third year, you know, getting to see what a playoff run looks like in downtown Edmonton for the Oilers. And it's wild. The energy is indescribable. And everyone who finally makes it down on a game night, home or away, frankly, says that. But until you come down here and even just go to a bar a couple blocks away from the arena, until you're there and you're hearing it and seeing it and feeling it, it's really hard to understand what downtown feels like.
It is really cool to see everyone get into it, because there is a lot of blue and orange around the city. Like, Panita is wearing Edmonton swag, or sorry, Oilers swag today.
I am. I can't help it. And
I know, it's great.
I went to a Chamber of Commerce lunch on Wednesday, and I wore I was wearing my orange blazer with I have a little Oilers pin, but there were multiple people wearing Oilers jerseys.
That's amazing.
Yes. At a business lunch.
Oh, yes. I went to also a Chamber event this week, and people showed up wearing their Oilers jersey at a networking event.
I love it.
I love it too. I mean, you know what? That's because we're a hockey town.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what happens when you're a hockey town.
Exactly. You know what? I actually went to the Oilers store yesterday because I had my eye on a couple things. It's all sold out.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
Actually, a very cool story about Wednesday. So this lunch was actually hosting the CEO of WestJet. It was his first time doing a business event in Edmonton. And they gifted him a Draisaitl jersey.
Nice.
So this guy, he's from Germany, happens to be from a small town very close to where Draisaitl is from.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Literally knew Draisaitl's dad in Germany.
Amazing.
And so he lives in Calgary, but obviously he's an Oilers fan. So cool. That was just a very cool moment.
That is very
there
cool.
Was, again, it was on its surface, unrelated in any way to hockey or the Oilers. And yet they managed to make this lunch at least 25% about the Oilers.
Of very course. Good. Classic. Not
so
surprised.
Those are some good little moments. What about some of the bigger stuff? There's a lot going on downtown. What are some of the, I heard about this big tent. I saw them putting it up. It looks huge.
Yeah, it's wild. So my advice to everyone about the playoffs, yes, playoffs tickets are very expensive. Not everyone's going to make it inside that arena, but go downtown anyways. Away game, home game, doesn't matter. Obviously the original Ice District Plaza, nicknamed the Moss Pit, is still in full force.
Yes. Very fun.
That hits capacity every night. You know, a lot of people saw and heard some stories in the first couple years. It was too much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Paulina crowd surfing.
I might have been. I was in the pit a lot.
Yeah,
that first year.
The newspaper.
Was wild. And they, I think they crammed too much in the first couple years. It was that big stage and
there was a bathroom situation that needed to be fixed. Yeah.
Right.
And so they've capped capacity at a much more reasonable number now.
Okay.
So
good.
You can totally feel totally comfortable. It's not you're not you know, trapped in this like really dense crowd of people, although that is fun too. It's a really great experience. So you do have to get there very early because it does hit capacity every single
time. Oh, 100%.
Like the last 2 years, I don't think we hit capacity in the pit during game one of any round.
That's amazing.
We hit capacity in game one of this round.
So tell me more about the fan park area. So that is on the east side of Rogers Place, that kind of like a parking lot that they turn into a whole nother venue.
Yeah, so it was a vacant lot. It was the Baccarat Casino way back for everyone who's been in Edmonton for a long time. So it was a vacant lot for a while. They've turned it into an outdoor venue. So there's all kinds of stuff that's happened there. You might have seen the outdoor beach volleyball tournament that happened last summer.
Yeah, some ice climbing too they had.
An ice climbing wall. So there's lots of cool things happening there. But obviously it's at its full prime during the playoffs. So they've now put up a giant tent.
Yeah, like 30,000 square feet or something.
Yeah, Stampede style. That's gigantic so fun. Tent.
That's
And it was the first time they'd ever done it. They literally barely got it up in time on Wednesday. And
it was down to the hour. I saw, like, we were driving by around 4 o'clock and they were putting it up. I'm like, is this for tonight?
Sure was.
Wow. They did it.
And they did it. And it was full. So not only did the plaza, like Moss Pit, hit capacity, but then of course everyone's directed to Fan Park once that hits capacity. But some people are just picking Fan Park anyways because it's just kind of a different vibe. They've got the big stage there now where there's way more space for it.
Okay.
So that's a good like pre-show place to go, or pre-game. And then they've got picnic tables and stuff set up, and it's like a gigantic beer garden.
That is
watch
incredible.
Party.
I need to go.
Yeah,
I need
it sounds
to go.
Like kind of like an Oktoberfest.
Oh my god,
I'm
love
into
this.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there is more than enough people
to
fill up every venue downtown. Awesome.
Absolutely. And that's the amazing thing about playoffs downtown.
Edmonton fans.
Well, yeah, but the energy, the vibes are incredible, like during a playoff game downtown, because we've got the park, we've got the Moss Pit, and then every bar is like packed with like excited fans. It's incredible. So in general, it sounds like, you know, there's obviously going to be a few like issues that can arise here and there with that many people flooding into downtown. But for the most part, it seems like it's been a remedied situation.
Yeah,
you've
got a few years under your belt.
Yeah, we've done this before. And I mean, I've been downtown a number of times during the playoffs. I've been downtown basically both games so far this year, and it's a good positive energy.
Yeah,
it's a really great vibe. And like, there are going to be minor issues or incidents with any giant crowd.
Well, that's exactly it. When you have that many people, like it doesn't matter. There's going to be a few like small things, but overall, like, it's a great option. Like, if you don't want to watch at home and you want to like be part of the energy, go downtown.
Yeah, I want
to
check out that fan park. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite bar or venue to watch the game? Or is that like
asking
you to choose your favorite child?
Yeah,
they're all my favorite.
I cannot answer that question. Okay. But we do, if you go to edmontondowntown.com, we have a whole roundup of all the places you can watch the game downtown, including how many TVs are in
every
one of those venues.
So important. I love that. I love that kind of stat. That's what I need to know.
Very good.
Because I need to know where the TVs are at.
Very useful information.
So did you have some numbers that you wanted to share as far as the impact?
Yeah, one of the really interesting things. So we get some data from Moneris. So they're like a payment processing company. So they share with us like where consumer spending has actually spiked.
Mm.
And the really interesting thing is that it's not just a boost for downtown. Like, consumer spending citywide spikes on game nights.
Yeah. I could see that.
Home and away nights during the playoffs. And it just, like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of rhyme or reason even to like which game in a series or in a round. Like, game four last year in round two was the biggest. It was a Wednesday night.
A
and
massive
it was
spike.
What a roller coaster that series was.
More than
was.
Double. Like, it was crazy. More than double the revenue in bars, restaurants, fast food, like every type of establishment that you would think people would be spending money in.
Wow.
Citywide, not just downtown. Like, the spike downtown is actually just similar to what it is in the rest of the city. So sometimes people will say like, oh, this is great for downtown, but you know, I'm not
it's
there,
good
so
for the
care.
City.
Okay. Well, I mean, thank you for joining. Okay.
Actually, Paulina, I wanted to ask you guys something.
Oh.
So there's an inappropriate game that we sometimes play that I won't bring up. I'm going
to look scared.
I'm going to make it a little bit more appropriate.
Okay.
So if you could snuggle any Oilers player,
okay,
who would it be?
Well, my answer, I mean, I have two answers, actually.
Okay.
Okay. Well, my main answer is Zach Hyman. I would love to snuggle, but like very platonically.
Big Spoon or Little Spoon?
Definitely Big Spoon.
Oh.
I want to be Big Spoon.
Okay.
I
didn't take you as a Big Spooner.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want, okay.
this is complex.
I don't want any like male anatomy like near my body.
Okay, so so this is a gay thing.
For me, yes, very much, yeah.
Little Spoon with Hyman.
I also would like to.
Oh, sorry, Big Spoon.
I would Big Spoon Skinner maybe as well.
I love it.
I think that he is like, he's a very broad man. Like, so it would be more challenging, but I could try to bear hug Skinner from behind in a platonic way as well.
I love it. Okay, Sunita, are you going to chime in on this one? If you could snuggle with any Oilers player, who would it be?
For me, Skinner's on that list.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And Draisaitl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yep. See, he wouldn't be my snuggle.
No. Real. No, we're talking about snuggling.
We're snuggling. Claire, get your head out of the gutter. This is this
rude.
This podcast usually gets like a little bit thirsty and we go
a little bit
to a much thirstier place than this very PG snuggle fest that we're talking about now. But Claire is still in thirsty zone and when she's thinking about Draisaitl at any given moment.
It's like, honestly, I have age concerns with how much I think that he's very good looking. Like, I am a 40-year-old woman. I
how
need
old
to
is
calm
he?
Down. I don't know. He's definitely of age. Don't.
Well,
I'm
yeah.
Not like,
he's like a full. He's like in his 30s, right?
I know.
No,
me and every
no,
other.
He's like 25.
Oh my god!
No
what?
Way.
What? No.
Okay, I'm gonna fact check this right now. That's. He does not. He
because he still looked like a baby in 2017.
I
have
imagine
you seen
Draisaitl,
his beard?
I imagine Draisaitl was born with like a beard, like and like full on muscles. Like that's just how I imagine him. I'm not saying he looks old. I'm just saying he seems like he would look manly at a very young age. So
I have an unrelated question to ask.
Yeah.
Do you think Draisaitl is famous in Germany?
Yes, because they're big hockey lovers there too.
Well, did you ask his neighbor?
I didn't get to actually chat with the CEO of WestJet much, but I would have. I wanted to ask that because we met this German guy while we were on vacation and just assumed that he would be able to draw the dot to Edmonton when we talked about Draisaitl, and we just got.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I bet he is. I bet in his hometown, he's a big deal.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we should unpack that a little bit in another episode, because I do feel like he's had some honor there too. Like he's got some legacy stuff happening in his hometown, but I can't remember what it is.
And
so
there's
we'll
something
have to come
about
back
his dad.
That.
Like I said, that I just learned at his lunch the other day.
So the Draisaitls are maybe like a thing.
Okay. So
he's
what
28.
Do we find out?
He's 28 years old. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad as I thought.
25 seems like a baby. 28 seems
you're
like
more mature. Yeah, mature, if you will.
Of course.
Okay. So, do we want to go anywhere else other than the snuggling?
I think
or just
if
leave
we
it there?
Go anywhere else, it's going to become more unhinged.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Panita, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Always a fun time hanging out with you.
Just before we wrap up, is there anything else going on around downtown in the next week or so?
Oh, man. So many things. It's so fun to like just sort of shake off the winter blues at
absolutely.
This time of year, and there's massive conferences happening right now. Downtown Spark is coming back.
Yes,
that'll
very
start
excited.
May 23rd, we're announcing our headliners for the block party soon, which is going to be so exciting.
Right on.
And the big inflatable art installations and monsters are coming back.
Right on.
Exciting.
I think that's a good point. We're all ready to shed winter and bring on the playoffs. Let's go, Oilers.
Thank you for listening to The Bits. You can follow us at The Bits Yeg on Instagram and subscribe, tell your friends. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.